Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 4 of Down the Rabbit Holes.
Hi everyone. Melissa, I just have to tell you that every week that we're doing this, I get more and more excited. I just don't know what the limits are. Like,
I feel the same way.
I'm just so psyched to hear about your case. I love the fact that I'm purposely not looking into these cases and kind of letting this be a genuine reaction that I have or genuine questions that come up as I'm talking to you. I mean, I'm just psyched. That's all I have to say.
I'm really excited too. And I do like the way that this is going with us not knowing, because I feel like it is an organic conversation. I really am thankful that you guys all came back. Again, if you haven't yet, please hit subscribe on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher. Well, you follow on Spotify, whichever. And we're really excited about all of this. We're going to be announcing merch giveaways on our social media, so follow along with that. And I'm ready to dive into this case.
Oh, take me down some rabbit holes.
Okay. All right. Today we're going to be talking about Tiffany Daniels. She was 24 at the time of her disappearance. She was born in 88. She lived in Pensacola, Florida. She actually worked at Pensacola State College, the theater department. She was really talented as an artist, and she painted and built scenes for the theater department, which I thought was really interesting.
I'm sorry, what year did you say this was?
Sorry, this was she goes missing in 2013.
Okay, sorry about that.
You're fine. So from everything I read about her, she was a real free spirit. She was her own person, artistic. She loved nature. She loved to go on trips, sometimes at the spur of a moment. She was a real free thinker. She loved dance. She actually hosted swing and blues dance parties at her house.
She would have been my best friend.
Yeah, kind of.
That's my jam.
Yes. She was super sweet girl, really kind-hearted. Honestly, sometimes to a fault. That actually brings us to the beginning of our story. So leading up to the summer of 2013, she had multiple roommates. And because she was kind, some of them were people that just needed a place to crash. Some of them were actual roommates. But because she avoided the confrontation of collecting rent, if people didn't pay her, she just tried to, like, cover it for them.
Oh.
Because she was so, exactly, she was so kind. Sort of in the summer of 2013, things got a little bit tight with money. I mean, I can't imagine paying for other people when I was 24.
Absolutely. I mean, what a sweet, sweet girl. But my heart says, oh, honey, you're being taken advantage of.
Agreed. So she actually put out a Craigslist ad looking for a roommate in July of 2013. Oddly enough, one of her friend's dads. I read in one of the articles he was going through a divorce, but I've only read that once, so I don't want to like harp on that. But he was the father of her friend named Noelle, and he answered the ad and had a good job and all that. So he asked...
Did they realize the connection?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, okay.
So he asked if he can move in. I will say here, her parents were a little leery of this. They thought it was a little odd or inappropriate for a 54-year-old man to move in with a 24-year-old girl. Which, I mean, for a parent, I could see why that would be weird. But I do know that her parents did a little bit look into him. They verified his job. They also knew that she was friends with his daughter. They kind of just like let it happen. Even though they voiced their concerns to her, but let it happen after that. She's 24.
Yeah, like it kind of like feels wrong, but you can't put your finger on, like, other than she's young and he's older.
Right.
That's really all you can say. But I have to wonder, like, is this one apartment or is it like separated living quarters in some way, shape or form?
I mean, from the story I've read, they had their own bedrooms, but it looks like they had a shared like living room, kitchen.
Okay.
And they got along really well. So I don't think that was any like alarm. It was more like, is this someone creepy living with my daughter? Which is fair.
Yeah. And I get it.
I also want to mention she did have a serious boyfriend, Gray Thomas. He was actually super smart and got accepted to a robotics program in Austin, Texas.
Good for him.
So he was moving and he asked her to move to Austin with him. And she had said no, but they decided to try the long distance thing. So that takes us up to Sunday, August 11th, 2013. She had breakfast with Gray, her boyfriend, and then he got in the car and drove to Austin. So that was like their goodbye breakfast. He was leaving. There are reports that she was quote-unquote depressed that day. I sort of chalk that up to her being like, my boyfriend just left. I've never read another report outside of that day of people saying she seemed depressed.
I mean, it certainly would warrant someone's feelings being hurt and feeling awful.
I mean, you're 24 and your boyfriend's moving states away, hundreds of miles.
Let me tell you about that.
Yeah. So that evening, she was actually going the next day at work. She was going to be starting building a set for Spamalot, which is based on Monty Python. So Sunday night, her and Gary, her roommate, decided to watch Monty Python as a movie.
Yep.
It's funny. They figured they'd like laugh. And plus, it'd be like work for her because she's preparing to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She watched the movie, went to bed. Everything was normal. Monday, August 12th. So some reports say 3 a.m., some say 5 a.m., so I'm just going to say at some point between 3 and 5 in the morning. Gary heard the door open and shut multiple times, the front door. So he goes into the hall, and then nothing's disturbed, there's no movement, the doors are all shut. So he was like, okay, well, maybe I'm imagining it, either way. And he goes back to bed. Now, he leaves the house around 7 to head to work. And Tiffany's car is gone from the house. So he was like, all right, well, that's odd. Because one of the interviews I heard about her dad saying,
okay,
if she had to be somewhere at 8, she would leave the house at 7:55 so she could sleep as late as possible. And honestly, same. So, you know, for her to get up early was weird, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So I found two places that said she worked at 8 a.m. and nowhere else corroborated like a schedule for work. So at 8 a.m., it says, but she did go to work on time. So either way, she worked a regular day that day. She did talk to her supervisor, Bob, and say, hey, can I leave 15 minutes early? Just I have to take care of something. I have things going on. Her supervisor was like, yeah, that's totally fine. She also mentioned she may need the rest of the week off.
At the same time she said that, or was that a separate conversation?
I don't know. I can't find a whole lot of interviews with Bob. He hasn't really spoken out.
Okay.
I would assume she said it all in the same conversation, but I don't know. But either way, what I've read is he was like, that's fine, let me know. But I do want to point out, I don't think it's weird that she didn't tell any friends or family about leaving at 4:45 instead of 5. Like, I don't need to announce that to anyone. But asking for the rest of the week off for me is a little bit weird, but it is what it is. So on August...
Well, I don't know that that's that weird. I mean, whether you're fun-loving or pretty grounded, introverted, like, I want the rest of the week off to either go to the beach or I want to relax at home. I need some, you know, mental health days. Doesn't seem that weird to me.
Okay. So either way, that day she clocked out of her job at 4:43 and was never seen again. According to the Charlie Project, there's video or there's some sightings of her at the university parking lot getting into her car. She appeared to be alone, but that's the end of it. Due to her computer's internet history, it is believed that Tiffany did come home from work around 5 p.m. and was there till around 7 p.m.
Okay.
Now, Gary was home during this time, but he was in his room with the door shut on the phone with his girlfriend. So if she was only there for, you know, 45 minutes or an hour or so, it's possible she didn't realize he was there and he didn't realize she was there. But someone was on her computer from 5 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
When Tiffany didn't come home later that evening, her roommate phoned his daughter and said something's wrong. And her friend, Noelle, he called his daughter and she was like, "Dad, you're being a dad. You need to stop. She didn't come home one time. Like, relax." And her dad was like, "Okay, you know what? Like, you're right. I'm not Tiffany's dad. I'm not going to worry about it. It is what it is."
Yeah, what a tough place to be. You're the older man. You automatically kind of take on this dad role. And then you're like, "Wait a minute. That's not supposed to be my role in this situation."
Right. And like, he called his daughter and his daughter's friends with her. And his daughter was like, "Okay, stop." Which I get, like, either way. So that's Monday night. Tuesday, no one sees Tiffany. Wednesday, Gary came home to have the power cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in Tiffany's name. So he called his daughter again and said, "How do I reach out to her family? I think something's wrong." Now, I can't find anything that says what happened between Wednesday and Saturday. But on Saturday is when his daughter ended up messaging Tiffany's mom, Cindy.
Okay.
So now it's been Monday to Saturday, 6 days.
Right, right.
Cindy says, "Okay, well, I'll just call her cell phone. Like, let's be real here." And calls her cell. Nothing happens. No answer. Cindy and Noelle together begin calling friends to reach out to people. No one has seen her. Cindy calls the police. And the police essentially tell her Tiffany's 25 or 24. She can disappear if she wants to.
Right.
Which I love that response. So her mom files a police report. It went from Pensacola to county, jurisdictional, wonders of the police. Tiffany lived within city limits. Her parents did not, so they started with county and moved to the city either way. Within this time, I read an article that Gary moved out, which at first I was like, "Well, that's odd." Then I was like, "There's no power. I don't know that I would stay in the house."
Oh.
So, you know.
I get that. I do. And I'm not laughing at this situation at all, but it's just sometimes things don't occur to me that are very obvious, and I'm kind of laughing at myself.
I felt the same way. When I first read he moved out, I was like, "Well, that's weird." And then I thought back, and I was like, "Oh, there's no power to the house." So, I mean, I respect him being like, "Well, until there's power, at least, like, I'll just go stay somewhere else."
I see.
Police do search Tiffany's house. There's no foul play, but all her personal items are there. So the police start with the most obvious, which is not the most obvious to me, but either way,
okay. They
start with her boyfriend. And I know it should be most obvious. I assumed Gary.
No, I know, but he's in Texas, right?
Right. So he left town on Sunday. They check him out. His cell phone proves he's in Austin. They also went to Austin. He also voluntarily went to the Austin Police Department and submitted fingerprints and DNA samples. One thing I read, rather, is the police said, "We can't 100%, I mean, we don't have a video of him in Austin, but everything we have demonstrates that he was in Texas, and he's not a suspect."
Okay.
So I get what they mean by that. Like, sure, could he have doubled back and, like, been in Pensacola? I mean, if there's no evidence he wasn't, I mean, he was, then maybe, but, like, him going to the Austin PD and be willing to help and, like, do everything he did, they don't think he's a suspect.
Right, and you don't want to sound like you're too certain of anything.
Right, especially when there's no leads.
Yeah, yeah.
So Gary was also investigated. He was the one reported missing. He was the one that, like, his daughter was like, "No, he actually really was concerned." He also gave a DNA sample. At this time, from everything I can read, he is not a suspect. Sunday, he moves out. On Tuesday, that's when the boyfriend went to Texas PD. It's also when friends start to make flyers and show Tiffany her car, her tattoos, all of that. Because she has pretty cool tattoos on her feet. Wednesday, August 20th. She'd now been missing 9 days. Police find Tiffany's car. One of the stories I read was a family friend actually spotted it at the beach.
Really?
Yeah. At the beach, just hanging out in a parking lot.
Oh my gosh, my stomach just flipped.
Yeah.
Okay.
The police get there. They go to the car. The contents are a cell phone, a purse, a bicycle with stand on the tires, clothes, a jug of water, peanut butter, normal, like, going to the beach stuff.
I swear to you that that would be the contents of my car. I would have peanut butter in my car.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is someone that, like, is going for a bike ride, you know?
Yes, totally.
The police print the car. There is an unknown fingerprint on a door handle and the steering wheel. So the next step is there's a toll road to the beach.
Right.
So police pull the toll records. Her car went through the toll, headed toward the parking lot at 7:51 p.m. on the previous Monday, August 12th.
Really?
Yep. So the day she went missing. However, there's no video of the driver.
Well, I guess that's why we're here.
Right. So the family conducts their own investigation and starts getting in touch with people to help. And I do want to touch on, they actually worked with CLASS kids, which I don't know if you know much about CLASS kids.
No, I don't know anything.
It's a foundation established in the 90s to give meaning to the death of a 12-year-old girl that was kidnapped and murdered, Polly CLASS.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yes, her dad actually started the organization. They help with searches and help with dogs and all of that with kids that are missing or people that are missing. It's a great organization.
Yes, and I totally remember that case because Polly CLASS was, I believe, just a little bit older than me, and it was all over the news, and it was like, oh my gosh, I could disappear from my sleepover. Like, so scary.
Yeah, so CLASS kids came in and helped with the organization. They hosted searches, hundreds of volunteers. One of the articles I read said the whole volunteer fire department showed up, which is super sweet.
Yeah.
They came, they had 250 volunteers, the search dogs, they canvassed the island, they canvassed the beach, the entire national park area, and there's no signs of Tiffany or anything that belonged to Tiffany. So they made a Facebook page to start, like, getting some publicity out there. And, of course, the tips start rolling in. A convenience store clerk described her perfectly, and police pulled the footage, and there was nothing. And that's when the family, sort of, according to one of the articles, I did not confirm this, the family started realizing that there are liars out there that just want to be part of stories.
That is the saddest thing, when your hope goes up, 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 and it it comes crashing down. I mean, it leaves me speechless.
So listen to this. I'm going to skip ahead in time in a little bit to August of 2015. Someone sent the family a Facebook message saying they can take her to the body of Tiffany.
Stop.
But they have to pay them $3,000. So the mom was like, well, send me proof. The person sent the family, like, audio clips from confessions of other people online. And, like, when they found the, when they did the research, they realized it was a confession that was already on the internet. Like, how crazy are people?
Why can people be such monsters sometimes?
I really hate them all. But either way. So that is literally the entire story of Tiffany Daniels' disappearance.
So this is like 5 years ago, right? Like five-ish, almost 6 years ago maybe?
Yes.
And that's it from 5 years ago?
Yeah. So there are a few theories and I want to talk about them and then I'm going to get into some other things. So one of the theories that, I'll read you the list of what I have and then we can kind of talk about them.
All right.
We're going to talk about the generic ones, walk away, suicide, because that's what you talk about, missing people. And then we're going to talk about, there's three that I, well, I guess two, but one of them has multiple parts. There's a theory that was she was on the beach and she went swimming and drowned.
Okay.
So there's that one. And then there's obviously foul play. Let's start with suicide and rule that out real quick. There's nothing in her life that ever indicated that at all.
Right. I mean, suicide's always a complicated one because when it does tend to happen, people are surprised. But then in hindsight, you look back and say, well, maybe there was this or that or the other thing. But from what you told me, at least, I didn't hear anything about any of those hindsight is 20/20 type things.
I feel the same way. I feel like we have to mention it because it's always a question, but I disagree that it's a theory.
Can I just add one more thing? Like, when you commit suicide, I don't know how you'd accomplish hiding yourself.
I was just going to say that. Like, I would have felt like a search would find them. But either way, there's the theory that she walked away. And I also disagree with this because, I mean, she wouldn't even move to Austin with her boyfriend. But now she's just going to up and leave.
Right. And it really stands out to me, you talking about how kind she was and that she would, you know, in essence, pay for other people's rent. it sounds like if she walked away from her life, the guilt would eat her alive because she couldn't stand to put her mother and family through this. I can't see that type of a person being okay with watching the suffering of another.
I would agree with you 100%. So, like I said, we have to address them because there's a missing person, but I think that those are the end of them. I do want to talk about the swimming theory. Is it possible? Sure. She could have gone for a bike ride, put the bike away, and then was like, I'm hot. I want to take a dip. You know, like, is that totally possible? Absolutely. My only question, and I don't live in Florida, so I can't speak to Florida for this. She went through the toll at 7:51 p.m. So, maybe she went for a night swim, but it was March. Is it warm enough to go? I don't know.
Great point. Yeah, people are on the beach in Florida in March, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong about that.
That's a really viable theory.
But I'm also thinking about high tide. Or is it high tide at that time?
You know as much as I do about the tides.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I think that that's a question that I would, if someone could answer that for me. I personally wouldn't be swimming alone, high tide, sun's going down. And I know this sounds like kind of a stupid question, but was she a beach swimmer? I mean, I think people close...
Yes.
Okay. All right. And the reason I say that is because I think what people know about me is that, for example, I was at the beach with my family recently, and they were like, yeah, Amy's not going in the water. She's all about the pool. She doesn't like the feeling of weird things at her feet. So they know that I'm not going in beach water.
I respect that.
Okay, all right.
I respect that. But yes, it sounds like she was one from what I've read.
So plausible.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally plausible.
What's the population in this area that, like, I know there's a lot of people that walk the beaches. There's a lot of people that, did they ever put out?
So I'll say this. One of the things that I did read about the beach area is where her car was found is actually a really popular parking lot. It had like two residential complexes right there. It had summer vacation homes. It's a good possibility.
So the last thing I want to say about that is, drownings are not like, and I'm really not being funny here, but like drownings aren't like Baywatch. They happen fast and they go unnoticed. I mean, you have to literally be eyes on a person. So even if it was a heavily populated area, it could have been missed. But at the end of the day, I would put this in the plausible column. I wouldn't say you couldn't rule it out. You can't completely rule it as the whole reason behind her disappearance. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I would agree with you 100%. I do think that it's a valid theory. I mean, you'll never know. I guess we'll never know about that.
But go back to what you said a little while ago. You said that there was her computer was being used at a certain time. I forgot what day that was, though.
The night she went missing. So it appears that she went home after work, went on her computer for a little bit, and then took a ride out to the beach.
Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
Totally. Thank you.
No problem. So the next thing I want to talk about is something that we haven't talked about yet as anything theory, really, is I want to talk about a sighting of Tiffany Daniels.
A sighting?
A sighting.
Oh.
Well, it's unconfirmed, but there's enough weird things that I think we need to talk about him. In January of 2014, New Orleans waitress reached out. She was in, I'm not ever going to try to pronounce a town in Louisiana, but she had a strange table that she waited on one night. A well-dressed, older Latina woman sat down at a table with two younger women, which one she claimed looked just like Tiffany Daniels, who she remembered from the news reports. So at this point, police are like, all right, well, whatever. The waitress says she remembered her because the girl had asked her what kind of broth was used in a dish that she was ordering, and asked if the stock was chicken or fish-based.
I wouldn't even think to ask that, but okay.
I agree. Weird question. Well, here's the thing. Tiffany was a pescatarian.
Okay. You've got my attention.
So it would have mattered. So that's weird enough, right? Then the woman was like, hey, you look just like this girl that went missing. And they were like, no, whatever. And they got up and left. Weird, right?
I'm sitting here with my mouth open, not even kidding you.
So, of course, she reported it a month later, so the surveillance cameras were taped over.
Of course they were.
But 2 weeks after Tiffany's abduction, there were multiple stories about a woman that was kidnapped in Pensacola. And I'm sorry, kidnapped in Panama and taken to New Orleans for sex trafficking.
I'm going to need you to say that one more time.
I'm going to. So human and sex trafficking look for high traffic, touristy areas, preferably with water and land access. Bingo, you got Pensacola. So I went down the rabbit hole of human and sex trafficking. And oh my goodness. So apparently I-110 from Santa Monica, California to Jacksonville, Florida, directly through Pensacola, is a hotbed for human trafficking.
Oh.
The state of Florida is the first or the second highest numbers of human trafficking recorded in the United States. So in October of 2015, this is 2 years, 2.5 years after the disappearance.
This is in the midst of it all.
Well, so listen to this. This happened in October of 2015, 2 years after she went missing. A federal grand jury returned a 32-count indictment charging a Pensacola man and 8 other defendants with interstate human trafficking. They go on to say that they were hired to transport, harbor, and market females for prostitution in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. 9 of the offenses occurred between 2014 and 2015. Now, yes, she disappeared in 2013, the year before. But I can't imagine they weren't building a network at that point.
I don't know. I'm outraged. I'm so sad.
Oh, me too. I was like disgusted going down this rabbit hole. I was like, I don't want to read any of this. In 2013, the most common venue was commercial front for like kidnapping. In 2014, it shifted to online ads. I mean, it is just insane to me that this is happening. It's disgusting.
Disgusting. It's, ugh. Is there a word that's worse? I can't think of the word.
So, I agree with you. It's gross. So my question is, if she met foul play, this is actually a really valid theory. Do you know? Like, she could be a victim, which means the upside is she's probably still alive, if this is the theory we're going to go with.
I mean, yes. Anytime someone is alive, that is incredible. An incredible possibility, for sure. And you know what? For the bulk of missing persons cases that there are and the cases that we will cover, I'm pretty sure you can say for a lot of them, it could be a theory, because this is a real thing out there. Sex trafficking is real.
That's disgusting that we have to say that, but I agree 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did actually, when I was reading about it, just stop and think for a second. And I'm sad we had to talk about it, but I'm actually, like I said, it's a valid theory for Tiffany, unfortunately. You know, if she encountered someone and they had bad intentions, she's a cute girl, 24.
Right, and she's kind, so anybody could have said anything to her.
Yep.
And
believes people.
She might have just been trying to be a good person.
I agree. Another foul play, I mean, foul play is always a thing. One of the articles I read said maybe she was going to see her boyfriend and she encountered foul play. Sure, that's a possibility, but her car was parked at the beach. So I think that if she encountered anyone, it was at the beach.
Right.
But I do want to loop back for 1 second. So if you remember, the last person to have reported talking to Tiffany is her boss, right? And he said that she was planning to be gone for, you know, a few days, and she had to leave work early.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find, this is as fact, this is said as fact anywhere. I can't find one interview with her boss. I can't find one statement. I can't find anything. I mean, yes, there are Reddit threads. I'm not counting that as research. I go back to, are we sure that happened? Because the only person that can give us that account is him. Because her saying that she was going to be gone for a few days, like, does that negate the chance of foul play? Because where was she planning on going?
All right, well, what do we know about him? Does this guy have a record? Does he...
We don't know anything. Literally nothing.
So not only can you not find interviews or statements from him, he has, like, no paper trail.
The only things I can find about him are not nice. and they're not substantiated, so I don't want to truly, like, rely on them as fact, but he didn't participate in the disappeared episode that was filmed about her. He declined to be interviewed for that. He declined to be interviewed for a bunch of stuff. Now, I did read somewhere, and I'm not sure where, that the Pensacola College said that they don't want to be involved in the narrative of this. So, I mean, it could be his job dictating, hey, you're not going to do interviews except for with the police.
Perhaps.
So I don't want to say, you know what I mean? But I think it's important to, if she said that, where was she going to go?
That's fair enough.
But if she didn't say that, why would he lie?
I don't have a good answer for that. So yeah, good question.
So that's just a weird thing, only because he's the only person that can say that, you know? So I do think it's a little bit weird. It doesn't change my trajectory, maybe a little bit. I'd like to know where she planned on going if that's true. And was she just upset that her boyfriend wasn't going to be around and was moving and was like, you know what, like, I'm just going to take a few days to myself? That's totally reasonable in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't...
Maybe she was going to go to Austin. Like, you know, maybe she thought about it and she was like, you know what, like, I'm going to go out there for his first week. You know, yeah, I told him to go without me, but maybe I'm going to go visit him for his first week.
You know, that's... Girls do that. They will travel from state to state to see someone that they care about.
They will. Amy doesn't want to tell you about the time she did it.
All right, fair enough. Put on the spot. I did it. I'm a nice girl, and I definitely took a risk, and I was young, and I didn't think anything bad was going to come of it or whatever, and I would not do the same thing, even as a, I'm going to say, 30-year-old woman, 30-something-year-old woman. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I could see being like, oh, man, this stinks. My boyfriend left. And then thinking about it and being like, you know what? Like, I could take a week off and, like, go with him and help him get settled. So I'm not super concerned about where she thought she might go. But I do think it's interesting, you know, at the least.
Yes.
So I want to pivot for a minute or two. I, in researching this case, spent a lot of time on the Help Find Tiffany Facebook page. And that Facebook page is actually run by her mother, Cindy. And I did reach out and just say, and I'll read you my message because I want you to know what I was trying to do. I said, you know, hey, who we are, what we're doing. And I said, we're going to record an episode covering the case. Our goal is to bring awareness and flesh out some of the theories. I want you to know I'm planning to cover it in the most respectful way possible. And would happily include anything you'd like to share. Well, I want you to know that Cindy kindly responded to me. So I got to chat with her mom for a little bit. We kind of went back and forth about some things and what I was planning on talking about today and all of those things. So the one thing that I will say that I got from her mom, above all else, is that she is truly invested in the case. She has never given up hope, and she'll continue to investigate every lead because she believes Tiffany's alive until proven otherwise. But she does believe that foul play is likely because she thinks that Tiffany would have reached out to her family, which I actually agree.
Yeah.
Like we said, we can't see her walking away. You said it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And side note, Amy does not know I had this conversation with her mom, so Amy did not say she wouldn't walk away knowing that.
No, seriously, like, my eyes are bugging out right now. I'm super grateful for her giving us the opportunity to talk about her daughter and her story.
Yeah, and I did, because I told her mom what we're looking to do, what our podcast is about, like, what we look to sort of frame out theories and figure out what's right. And I asked her mom if she would share what she thinks her theory is with us. And she did. She essentially believes this is foul play, likely with a stranger at the beach, but it potentially could be someone she knows also.
Mm-hmm.
She is willing to admit that drowning is always an option because we can't rule it out. But in her gut, she feels like it was foul play. And she feels like Tiffany is still alive, which I can't imagine what you're going through as a mother. So,
And with the information that you gave me, it really could be a likelihood for her daughter to be alive.
I agree. You know, do I think she could have encountered foul play on the beach? Absolutely. I'll tell you, the sex trafficking thing really does make me pause.
It does. I don't know how to say this in a super sensitive way. other than, strangely, I feel such disappointment in my gut, and it feels like it might be something like that.
Me too. Sure, would I like to hear more from the roommate? Absolutely. Would I like to hear more from the boss? Absolutely. Would I like the boyfriend to talk about, like, if he talked to her leading up to it, was she thinking about coming?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. There's not a lot of interviews from all of them. I will say, like, if they're innocent and they just don't want to be part of the narrative, I respect that too.
Yeah.
But I do go back. I am solid on foul play. And I know I've said that for, like, the last four cases, and it is what it is. But for this, I am leaning towards sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Or kidnapping in general. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I literally 100% agree with you.
Okay.
The other things feel shaky to me. Plausible, shaky.
I will say drowning is a plausible also.
It is. I know it's not like a scientific thing, but gosh, it's a gut feeling.
Yeah.
It means something to me.
I agree with you too. I just want to say that, like, we can't rule out drowning, you know?
And you're right about that.
So I just, that to me is an interesting perspective.
Yeah, it sounds like we both land on the same thing though.
So I want everyone to open it up now to social media, to our listeners. Feel free to give us your theories. Email us at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast. I also want to give some information. So first of all, if you have information on the disappearance of Tiffany Daniels, please contact the Pensacola Police Department. Her mom was kind enough to share the detective's name, and that's Kelly Earhart. She's a new detective on the case, looking at things or helping her mom out. The phone number is 850-435-1900. There's also a Help Find Tiffany page on Facebook that, by all means, you should follow, like, pay attention to. If you have any information, please send it to her mom. I can vouch for the fact that her mom reads the messages and is super responsive. So reach out.
Really? Because you told me today, like, you told me this morning, like, I'm all set, you know, with our case or whatever.
Yeah.
Then new developments.
Yeah. I also do want to read a one paragraph thing. Yeah, if you suspect a person is the victim of human trafficking, the best thing you can do is stall the person if you are in a position to do so, such as a cashier, a waiter, a waitress, etc. If you are not, do not intervene, but contact authorities immediately by calling 911 or the National Human Trafficking Hotline at 1-888-373-7888. If you are unable to stall them, please try to see which direction they are heading, what type of vehicle they are driving, and if a license plate is possible. And I was reading about it, and the last sentence really resonates. Any victim is one tip or one sighting away from coming home. So I did want to put that out there. Even if it's not the end result for Tiffany, I do want people to be aware of human trafficking. So please keep that information in the back of your mind also.
Thanks, Melissa, for all those tips. I think it's super important, and we can't forget it's happening all around us. We just don't know how to see it.
Right. And that's also comes back to the point of this podcast, is to bring awareness to this stuff. Yes, we want to bring awareness to Tiffany's case and help her family get her home. But also, think about every victim that's been human trafficked. We care about them, too. So if we can keep these ideas and these thoughts and these articles and these stories alive, that's what our goal is.
I agree with you, Melissa. You know, there are lots of true crime podcasts out there, amazing work that they do for sure. We're really trying to bring media attention back to cases that have, for whatever reason, disappeared out of the media spotlight.
Right.
These people deserve to be reunited with people that love them, their family, their friends.
Yes, absolutely. So I would just say on all of our cases, like we do, set your Google alerts, pay attention. You know, we're always looking for developments and things like that. But yes, please send us your theories, send us your thoughts. Do you think drowning is an option? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, we're definitely open to it. And I think these discussions can bring to light things that no one has thought of before. And it's all useful.
Agreed, 100%. So follow us on social media. Please sign up to subscribe or follow us on however you're listening. And we would really appreciate some 5-star reviews. We are doing some contests for them, so check out our social media for that. We appreciate you coming back, and we hope you come back next week for a whole new story.
Yes, thank you so much.
Can't wait to see you next week.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Megan Hutchinson.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.